The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, I began my Easter message series, and the basic focus is joy. Now, if you miss one of the messages, you can go online to our website, and there's a tab with my name, and you can listen to the message, also download a little worksheet that goes with each of the messages. Just a way of helping us to look at what we believe and how we practice our faith. But joy is the overarching theme of this message series that will run through Pentecost. Now, joy is something we're supposed to be experiencing. For example, and you'll hear it today in the preface says, "Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, we praise God." Overcome with paschal joy. I don't see anybody here overcome with paschal joy. But that's what the prayer says. The prayer says this is how we're supposed to be. Overcome with paschal joy. Do we really have joy in our lives? Do we believe that the joy of Easter is something that should be seen in our faces, should be heard in our words, seen in our actions? If people came into this church right now, would they see a joyful crowd? People maybe on the ground moaning in joy and others going hallelujah? No, they probably wouldn't see that, but we're supposed to be overcome, you know, not just comatose with joy, but overcome with joy. Isn't that interesting? And what is joy? Well, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you go to Galatians, you'll get the list of all the fruits. What does that mean? Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It means, literally, that someone who has joy is living the life that God wants them to live. That's what it means. So I guess the opposite would mean if we don't have that joy, we're not living the life that God wants us to live. Let me put it this way. The person who has joy is living in synchronicity with the Holy Trinity. Synchronicity with the Holy Trinity. Incidentally, I made that up, so be sure that you tell people I made it up. But that's what joy is. If we have joy, what we're doing is we're sharing in the joy of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How many of us think of God as joyful? How many of us think of God as joyful? And yet, he is, because that's where joy comes from. So if we have that fruit of the Holy Spirit, if we have that joy, it means somehow we're connected with the life of God. And joy is a power. It's a magnificent power. It's a powerhouse. Do you want to be around joyful people? Or do you want to be around people that are always going, oh, but you know, wait an hour, or oh, it's so difficult. Do you want to be around people like that? Joy lifts us up. It extends our ability to see what's going on. It gives us hope. It boosts us. It makes us excited. And God wants every one of us to be joyful. Because if we are joyful, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? No. People who are joyful are always running out and saying, hey, here's the good news. This is what happened. When people have a child or a grandchild or whatever, you know, they don't keep it to themselves. It's posted all over Facebook and Instagram. But do we post our joy in Jesus Christ in the same way? And again, that's where we're supposed to be, because if we're not joyful, the question is, does the resurrection make a difference in our lives? Does it really affect us? Does it change the way we see things? Does it make us always stop and say, oh, wait a minute, this is what I believe. This is the joy that I've been given. How am I sharing it with other people? We have great examples of that in today's reading. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The people were of one mind and one heart. They shared everything. They sold things, gave it to the apostles so they could distribute it to other people. So no one went without. That's the power of joy. When you have that joy, you're not worried about yourself. You're not worried about, what about me? You know, I got to get these investments going, or I got to maintain this. That's not joy. But joy is what the early believers underwent because they were convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. He broke the bonds of sin and death. Therefore, what's not to be joyful about? What's not to be rejoicing about at all times? So that's the early church. And as we read that, we can ask ourselves, are we like that? Are we willing to go forth and do amazing things, surprise ourselves, surprise our friends, maybe even upset our friends, but because that joy is so powerful, we're willing to do anything to show the goodness of God, to be grateful to the goodness of God. That's the power of joy. The gospel is the same thing. When Jesus appears the first time to the disciples, you know, they were afraid, they thought he was a ghost, but when they realized it was truly Jesus, what did they do? They rejoiced. They rejoiced. They had joy because they knew what was foretold was true, and therefore they could be happy. Well, not happy, joyful. That deep down joy that comes with a conviction that God is who he says he is, has done what he said he would do to free us so that we can tap into the joy of the Holy Trinity. Now, Thomas is the other example. He's going the other way. Instead of believing what the other disciples said, you know, he's this down in the mouth. No. It's almost like, I'm not going to rejoice until I see it. And fortunately, he did see it. And he said, my Lord and my God. So he did rejoice, finally. And like all the apostles and disciples, part of that early Christian community, they were of one mind and one heart. And as we know from the scriptures, if you read them every day after Easter, there's all these stories about suddenly Peter and John are going into the temple and they're preaching boldly and courageously about Jesus Christ. that he did rise from the dead, and they don't care if they're put in prison. In fact, if they're put in prison, they think of that as an honor, a privilege, because of what Jesus Christ did for them. Do we think that way? One writer put it this way. She said, are we afraid of joy? Are we afraid to be joyful? Are we afraid to go whole hog with joy and live it fully? Or do we just take a little piece of it here, a little piece of patience, a little piece of peace? Because if we take the full amount, what's it going to do to us? Are we afraid that it's going to radically change us? Is that why we don't want to go that far? And yet, as we know from scriptures, we know from the lives of saints, we know from the lives of ordinary people through the centuries that those who were most joyful, most on fire with the faith, were not afraid of anything. They went forth and lived the gospel. They gave away what they had in order to support other people. That's the power of joy. And that's the challenge that we face. Are we kind of, you know, just little pickers? Yeah, just give me a little joy, because if I accept the whole thing, that obligates me. I'm therefore responsible then, if I get all this joy, to truly live it and to stop worrying about myself, to stop counting the cost, but to keep wondering, how can I give more? What can I do that's even more powerful as a way of showing God my faith in his life, in his suffering, death, and resurrection, which is the greatest gift we could possibly have. So Easter is a reminder that we are called to be, well, we sometimes say an alleluia people, we're called to be a people of joy, to take the joy that we hear about in the scriptures and to take it out into the world. And that means we got to practice it. We got to practice it. You know, it's not something that God takes this pill and puts into us and suddenly, I'm joyful. No. We have to believe and accept that God is going to give us those graces so that we can practice the joy and bring that joy to other people. Just like learning a new trade or learning how to swim, whatever, we have to practice it. And the more we practice it, the better we get at it, so that we can let the life of joy, which comes from the Trinity, directly from the Trinity, the more we can let it flow through us. So if we want to be an Easter people, if maybe next year this time, when we hear and listen for it today, that we are overcome with Paschal joy, we'll say, oh, I've had that experience. And it's so good. It keeps feeding me. It's not a time-limited thing, but God wants to keep on showering us with that joy so that we can be faithful disciples. So as you go forth this week, think of how you might practice being joyful. Practice how you can bring joy to other people. Because again, it's a powerhouse. It's a dynamic power that lifts people up, helps people to see things more clearly. And no matter what they're going through, that joy can give them an insight into the true God who is filled with all sorts of graces and gifts and wants to keep showering them upon us. But it's our obligation as Christians, as people who have been baptized, we have been commissioned to go forth and proclaim the gospel, not as some dull duty or set of obligations, but rather as a joyful gift from the Lord, so that we can be truly free of doubt, free of fear, free of whatever it is that keeps us in our boxes, but so that we can also take it into the world and let other people see the gift of joy that God wants for them. So, practice being joyful. Practice going to people, bringing joy. Maybe even practice being overcome by Easter joy. What might that look like? And then move on from there. Because joy is a great, great power that God has, that he wants us to share in it. So again, if we're an Easter people, it's all about the joy of our faith and the joy that should not be just a word, not just a feeling, but rather a way we live our lives, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we go out to the world and show the joy of God to everyone.